Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we discuss the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, today, as always, are Martin.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, thank you, Martin. And Alex.
Hello there, Robin. How's it going?
It's going fine, thank you. I'm looking forward to Martin's story this week, which is about an older thing.
It is. I was inspired by your tale last week of grisly murder.
Oh, so
it's something a little bit dark. But it was fascinating to read, so hopefully it will fascinate you too.
Ooh, I do love a good mystery.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And as always, we'll be finishing this week with our weekly quiz, which I have prepared for these two, well, one champion versus,
versus another.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling that confident this week. I feel like today, you know, Martin might stand a chance.
Oh, he might do it.
You might stand a chance.
Modestly spoken.
Don't want donuts.
Martin has generously brought donuts to this week's podcast. So if you wonder what the munching sound is, it's just Robin munching on his donut.
So as I said earlier, I mean, I was inspired, Robin, by your piece last week about the bodies on the tracks. It's not the same.
You enjoying your donut there, Robin?
It's still warm.
Oh, it is. Well, yeah.
Thank you, Martin.
It's good. And they're cheap from Sainsbury's. So that's not a promotion. It's just letting you know. So my story this week is about the murder of Michael Frank. You heard of Michael Frank?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about him. So in February 1980, there was a deadly prison riot that broke out in New Mexico, unfortunately killing 33 prisoners, so pretty bad event.
Yeah.
And the state official, Michael Frank, was brought in to completely revamp the prison system, which had obviously loads and loads of problems in terms of security. Hmm. He did such a good job that in 1987, the governor of Oregon brought him in to do the same thing there, so to sort out the prison system.
Right.
Okay.
Michael Frank told his family that he was going to blow the lid off corruption in the Oregon prison system and implicate several top government officials. So there's clearly an issue with corruption as well. Mm. But apparently Michael did too good a job. And on January the 17th, 1989, just after he completed his investigation, he was found stabbed to death outside of his office.
Oh, God. Oh,
outside his office?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So... the DA said that Frank's murder was a botched robbery.
No way. No.
But his family thinks that Michael Frank had uncovered a vast conspiracy. Bob Merchant, a former Oregon state prison guard, described the illegal activities he witnessed. He said, "I was told by my superiors to keep my mouth shut and mind my own business, or I'd be looking for a job." The three main criminal activities that I observed working in the corrections department were the introduction of drugs into the institution, falsifying of records, and theft of state property. So there was a lot of rogue dealings going on within the prison system, which he obviously knew about. He says, basically anything that was not nailed down was subject to be stolen. So there was a real issue here with prison officials acting incorrectly and criminally as well. There was a constant flow of drugs being brought into the institutions. One of the most common ways was staff bringing them in their own lunch buckets.
Wow.
So staff would bring them into the prison system, drugs for the prisoners.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where was this prison?
So this prison was in Oregon, in Salem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Salem.
Of the witch trial.
Salem, yes. Yeah, connotations there. No sorcery going on here, but possibly a conspiracy.
That was nice.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Thank you. So reporter Stephen Jackson of the Salem Statesman Journal believed that Michael didn't know what he was actually up against when he came into the prison system in Oregon. Mm. So he says that when Mike came in, he's got a good old boy system to contend with. So a lot of people covering up for each other.
Right.
And now, historically, when we look at both the UK and the US, you look at basically the 1980s and the 70s as well, and going back, and there's a lot of kind of covering up for each other and writing reports for each other, describing incidents as they would like to be told.
Mm.
So basically this system was in place.
Man.
He said that a lot of these guys have been there for 20 or 30 years and the system had run the way they wanted it to run for many years. So he says that here comes the guy, Mike, from out of state, who has all these high-minded ideas about what he's going to do, and it just rubbed them all up the wrong way.
Because he wants to do his job, basically.
Exactly. He wants to do his job. But the way things have been for 20 or 30 years was in favour of those incumbents who have been there for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Michael's brother, Kevin Frank, said that Michael knew he was juggling political dynamite and that it could blow up in his face at any moment. So there's quite strong words there. Michael's sister-in-law, Katie Frank, talked to Michael a few days before he was killed. And she says, on January 13th, I called Michael and he said that he was going to go before the legislature and clean house the following Wednesday. So this was just before he was killed.
Right.
He was very, very concerned, and I think he had uncovered something far bigger than he had expected. So this is coming from those closest to him.
Right.
So he told them about what was going on, the fact that the prison system obviously was completely corrupt,
yeah,
and that the high-up officials were colluding with criminals.
Yes. I mean, how could be bigger than, yeah.
These people that he was about to implicate, they were extremely lucky that there was just this robbery outside his office, you know, this robbery gone wrong, and, and he was murdered. I mean, you know, how lucky, how fortunate for them.
Yeah. But it looks like a cut-and-dried case of a common criminal with a knife.
Yeah, just, you know,
exactly.
Botching a guy, botching taking his wallet, yeah.
Mm. Indeed.
Right before he's about to implicate loads of high-up officials in extreme corruption. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Sounds legit, right?
Totally legit.
So anyway, this is what happened in terms of the killing itself. So on January 17th, Michael was found murdered on the side of a porch of his office building. Police began to piece together the last moments of his life. So apparently after the regular Tuesday staff meeting that Michael had, Michael spoke with one of his employees. Later, two other employees noticed that the light in Michael's car was on and that the driver's door was wide open. Two corrections officials searched the building, but Michael was nowhere to be found, and the two men left then around 9:30 p.m. without calling the police. They just didn't know where he was, but didn't suspect anything suspicious. Later that night, a security guard found Michael's body on the side porch of the building that had been searched just 4 hours earlier. The glass on the side door was shattered and his briefcase appeared to be missing. So that suggests briefcase appeared to be missing. Could that be a robbery? Could it have valuable items in it? Could that have been the subject of what was stolen? Yeah. Or could it have contained evidence that was potentially bringing down the system?
Yeah. Is it common for robbers to take a briefcase off a businessman? They'd go for his wallet, right?
Yeah. Unless they, you know, seen loads of movies and assumed that the briefcase was full of cash.
Full of cash,
you
know? Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bit that's a bit weird to me.
Sounds like they were after what was ever whatever was in there, right?
Yeah, it seems likely. Interestingly, we don't necessarily know whether his briefcase was easily accessible. You know, like in terms of whether it had like a PIN code on it, because you'd think that a common robber maybe wouldn't bother if it was just if it had like a security any kind of security on it.
Yeah,
it's true.
Maybe not bother if it was like a heavy duty one, but yeah, but we do not know. So. This is a little bit about the suspect who was indicted for the murder. So, believing Michael was murdered in a robbery attempt, the police interrogated a known drug dealer who was called Frank Gable. According to a witness, Gable was in the act of breaking into Michael's car when Michael came out of the office building around 7 p.m. Gable stabbed Frank, mortally wounding him. Some believe that Gable also stole the briefcase, as we said before. Mm-hmm. Michael then staggered up the stairs of the side entrance to the building and broke the glass door in a desperate attempt to get back into his office. Now, to me, that sounds a little bit odd. Would you break glass to get into... maybe there's a phone in your office? Mobile phones weren't exactly as prevalent in 1989. But would you break glass to get into your office if you've just been stabbed?
I guess if you're desperate, you might. Yeah,
but wouldn't he have the keys? Chest. You'd have the keys, though, right?
You'd expect so,
yeah.
Unless they were left in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you had been stabbed in the chest and you needed to get to the phone, he's not going to go back to the car, get his keys,
come
back in. He needs to get to the phone, I guess. So it kind of makes sense.
Maybe it's a maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So Frank Gable was then tried and convicted of the murder of Michael Frank.
Oh, case closed.
But for many, the evidence simply did not add up.
Mm.
So, bruises, abrasions, and other wounds on Michael's body indicated a struggle with more than one person. Leading Katie Frank, his sister, to conclude that Frank Gable was innocent, which is interesting. Because often in these cases, the most likely suspect is often vilified, maybe rightly so, by the family. They want to get justice as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So there must have been significant evidence for Katie Frank to believe that the person accused of it, who was charged of it, was innocent.
Mm.
partly because, I guess, because of his testimony to her a few days before he was eventually killed, saying that, you know, stuff was going on. So, yeah, Frank Gable was tried and convicted of the murder. So Michael's family and supporters of him found discrepancies in the official report of his death. For a starters, Michael had a state-of-the-art alarm system. So if the killer broke into the car, why wasn't the alarm set off? Maybe he was killed outside of the car. and there were no signs of forced entry either. The police believe that Michael was stabbed at the car, puncturing his heart and lungs. But why was there no trace of blood within 100 feet of the car?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so true.
Odd, right? If you're a drug-dealing robber, you're not going to be cleaning up the crime scene like that if you stab someone next to the car.
That's so true.
Yeah, it's getting shady, right?
Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
And lastly, if Michael was killed at 7 p.m, as the police estimated, why wasn't his body or the broken glass noticed until the building was searched between 8:30 and 9:30 p.m?
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Their search was right then.
Yeah.
They should have seen it, surely.
Yeah.
So some believe that Michael was therefore the victim of a premeditated murder carried out by several men and possibly instigated by high-ranking officials fearful of being named in his investigation.
Man.
He was cracking down on them and needed to be taken out. So according to the reporter, Stephen Jackson, an eyewitness at the scene backs up this theory. So he says that at 10:15 or 10:20 on January 17th, a young man riding in a car looked over where the scene of the crime was and saw 5 to 6 men running towards a Volkswagen van.
Wow.
Ooh, wow.
If Michael Frank had been abducted and then brought back to the building where he was killed, it would fit with this abduction theory.
Mm.
So he'd been taken away, killed, and then brought back and placed by the scene. Hence, there's no blood within 100 yards of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And as a result, Frank Gable is an easy out because he's a local drug dealer, but probably, well, possibly not the murderer.
But why would they take him away and then bring him back?
That's a good point. Maybe maybe they needed to kidnap him to interrogate him to find out what he knew.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe before they you know, kill him, they need to know how, like, what kind of security he's got. Maybe he had a dead man switch or something. He's a smart guy. Maybe he had a system set up so, like, someone else has the information in case anything was to happen to him.
And possibly they would be able to take him away because they were high up officials, and anyone watching, they could play it off as, oh no, he's a criminal.
Mm.
So they could, because they're in law enforcement, they could even be dressed up as the police. We don't know. no evidence for that. But surely they'd want to interrogate him first, and then when they found out what he knew, they knew that he needed to be killed.
Yeah. They want to know where all his records are, I guess. All his notes
exactly.
And things. Yeah,
they could have definitely threatened him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Maybe even tortured him if we look at the bruises and abrasions as well.
Yeah.
Seeing there'd been a struggle with more than one person. So there were definite defensive wounds that suggested that there was more than one person involved. So this theory of the abduction suggests that on the night of his death, Michael unlocked his own car and deactivated the alarm at the same time the men approached.
Mm.
So Michael didn't keep regular office hours except for Tuesday staff meetings. So it appeared the attackers were familiar with his schedule, which is interesting. A local drug dealer wouldn't be necessarily.
Exactly, yeah.
Very unlikely. So, again, according to reporter Stephen Jackson, the abduction theory would have that Michael Frank was later brought back and perhaps going to his office to find whatever paperwork or computer files to sort these things out in his office. But once he was there, he gets out the car, perhaps sees his only chance for getting away, tries to make a break for it, and then receives one or two of his injuries when he's trying to run away from his car.
Mm.
I mean, this doesn't necessarily completely rule out Frank Gable, because he could have unlocked his car and then tried to escape from Frank Gable, who was wielding a knife, perhaps.
Mm.
So it doesn't necessarily negate that the Frank Gable wasn't involved. But what it does suggest is that, he wasn't killed where they thought he was.
Yeah.
By the car.
Yeah.
What was Frank Gable's defense? Was he just, like, denied it, obviously?
Yes. Yeah.
And just said that he
didn't do it. Yeah.
I wonder, like, if he had any alibis, or, like, if this was a conspiracy involving, you know, numerous people, how he was chosen to be the fall guy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although if it's the prison system, sorry.
Sorry, carry on.
I say maybe he was chosen just because he's a drug dealer, and you know, this is the prison system working against Michael Frank. So kill two birds with one stone.
And then they know he operates around that area.
Yeah,
yeah. An easy target for someone who potentially is off the head, potentially, and doesn't necessarily keep records of exactly where they are because they're wandering the streets.
That's true. Yeah.
So yeah, it's an easy out.
Target. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got another bit of evidence for you.
Okay.
So that night, several people reported seeing a man with a pinstripe suit and a dark complexion lurking in the corrections building after hours.
Which is
pretty odd. Pretty odd. Not much is said about that, apart from the fact that it doesn't match Frank Gable, this local drug dealer's attire. So that's interesting. Another fact that kind of supports the assassination theory is that... no paperwork about Michael's investigation into the Oregon prison system has ever been recovered.
That's pretty much the deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, that seems very, very dodgy, doesn't it?
Yeah. He just didn't have any paperwork.
But there's something else.
Okay.
What?
Shortly after Michael Frank's death, some people, some employees and some inmates, spotted approximately 23 bags of shredded papers coming out of Michael Frank's office and the surrounding offices.
Well, I mean...
Wow.
So, okay, well, I mean, this is...
Doesn't paint a good picture, does it?
Hardly even a theory at this point. This just seems, totally spot on.
Yeah. And so Katie Frank, of course, says the officials investigating Mike's murder don't want it solved because it goes much higher in the Oregon government.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even have any kind of contrasting, like, oh, what about this, though? Well, maybe. It just seems
pretty conclusive, doesn't it? Yeah,
it does.
It does. But as of yet, no counter-investigation has been made into this.
Mm.
Frank Gable's still in prison for this murder.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, what about the officials? I assume at this point they're all out of office because it's been long enough that they would have retired.
You'd think so. I don't have too much information on the individual officials, but... But yeah.
Has Frank Gable, I mean, I know lots of criminals do deny it, but has he continuously denied it throughout?
He's always
been in jail.
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 Man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, the Frank family have their doubts about the official conclusions, very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevin Frank claiming that prior to his death, Michael warned him of a threat on his life and told him, similar to Kate, that he had discovered a network of corruption in the department. But what interests me is the fact that the Oregon State Department, it must be such a bad secret that they're hiding to actually have him killed. Because you look at pretty much every institution around that time and you'd think that there would be at least a level of corruption.
Yeah, I mean, there's corruption in lots of the prison systems. I mean, I think there was a story in the UK a while ago about correctional officers using, smuggling in drugs for the inmates. Can't remember what prison it was, but I think that's kind of fairly common. So like you say, it must have been a very damning story, very damning thing that they were getting up to.
Yep.
It must have been pretty serious.
Absolutely,
a level of corruption we've never seen.
Absolutely. And there are other theories about who actually killed him.
Okay.
And how they got away with it, basically. And one of the main ones, I'm not going to go through them all, but one of the main ones is that a person called Timothy Natividad, who was killed 2 weeks after Frank's murder, was the person who stabbed Frank. So theories as to who may have been behind the killing, they focus on these two men who are high up in the corrections hierarchy. One of them who's called Hoyt Cup, which I think is a fantastic name. he was a former warden at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
Right.
And in 2007, a convicted felon, unnamed, gave a series of interviews to the Williamette Week, which I'm sure is a local publication. And he claimed that he witnessed Cup and another corrections official pay Natividad $20,000. And Natividad later informed him it was payment for killing Frank.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, this comes from a convicted felon. We can't necessarily, it's not gospel, is it?
No.
It also kind of goes against the previous theory in that he had loads of bruises on him, suggesting that it was multiple attackers.
That's a good point. And plus, it doesn't seem like, I mean, he of course, he's doing this for the Willamette Week. I'm not sure if he was paid for this. Maybe he was. I mean, that's a definite incentive. But it's not like he's a It's not like he's reducing his sentence by doing this.
No, yeah. It's an odd thing to come out with in 2007, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. So also another individual who's been named is a guy called Scott McAllister. He had been the assistant attorney general for the state of Oregon until he resigned shortly before Frank's death. So he became the inspector general of the Utah Corrections Department. And an ex-girlfriend of McAllister told the Portland Tribune that McAllister had been in possession of internal police documents concerning the murder that he no longer had any official reason to possess.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. And that she'd overheard McAllister describe the killing as a botched hit that was supposed to look like a suicide.
Wow. Really doesn't look like a suicide, does it?
No, it looks clearly like a murder.
If that's true, that's interesting. Maybe, they kidnap him, take him away to make him commit suicide. But
goes
then
wrong.
He struggles so much that he's got too many bruises. Now, like, oh, we're going to have to kill him now.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, perhaps.
What they should have done is tied his hands behind his back and then shot him in the back of the head with a shotgun. That would have looked like a suicide.
Three times.
Three times. In the back of the head. That would have definitely looked like more like a suicide.
But it's interesting that when it went wrong, instead of making him disappear, they put him back very close to where he worked. It's an odd one. Mm. I think that is odd.
Yeah.
Like, would you want to? I mean, you can frame it on a local drug dealer, but at the same time, isn't that a risky tactic?
Yeah. This whole thing seems so brazen, so like hidden in plain sight. You know, it's kind of, this is a high up official who's about to implicate a bunch of high up officials for corruption, and he turns up murdered a week beforehand he's supposed to do this. That's so. You know, he's not like an easy target. He's a high up, respected official.
Yeah.
In a way, that kind of gives more credence to the theory that it was these corrupt officials who did it, because, you know, let's assume they're corrupt, but they're not experienced at assassinations.
Mm. Yeah. Very
so
true.
They just hire the wrong people who don't have clear instructions, who botch it, mess it up.
And then in a panic, they go, what do I do with it? Oh, we'll blame it on a local drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of these persons who's given the testimony is a convicted felon.
Yeah.
The other one is an ex-girlfriend, maybe bitter ex-girlfriend, or someone in the State Department. Yeah. So you can't say that it is for sure, you know, a reliable witness testimony.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. And it certainly seems like the family don't believe the official story. I don't believe the official story.
Yeah.
and unfortunately, you know, a man quite possibly is in prison who didn't commit this.
Yeah. But what do you do when the law is corrupt?
Exactly.
You can't do much about that.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. But it is crazy. A lot of the stuff with him saying that he's going to blow the lid off corruption in the department, and then a week before he does, he's killed. I mean, it just seems too coincidental to just be a local drug dealer. It could have been. It could have been. Of course it could have been. But there are too many points of evidence to get in the way of that, I think.
So either the drug dealer did kill him opportunistically, something went wrong, and then the corrupt officials took the opportunity to raid his offices and get rid of all the documentation.
Perhaps with a broken glass.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Or, like you say, it sounds like an assassination.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like that.
Yeah. Although, again, why would they break the glass if they didn't have if they just have a key, surely? Who they are. Yeah.
Man, poor man. And poor family.
Yeah.
Having but to deal with that.
Again, it's ongoing. Like, he's dead and we are... It's case closed, according to the state officials.
Yeah, I want to know now. Like, has corruption ever been dealt with in Oregon since then? Or, as far as we can tell, has it just continued?
Did these people ever face any kind of consequences? I'm guessing no.
No, probably not. Wow. Because if they had faced consequences, presumably there would have been some kind of link and expose of the Frank murder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine this one coming to Netflix sometime soon.
Yeah, it's true.
But I thought it was a fascinating case.
Yeah, that is.
And a little bit different from your one last week, Robin, but it's still corruption to the top, you know?
I think
murder and...
Yeah, and politics.
I think both of your stories have kind of made me realize that those kind of stories are like my favorite conspiracies, because they're so kind of... Yeah, it makes so much sense. You can imagine it happening.
These kind of cases where you cross the line from conspiracy theory to just conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a wealth of evidence to suggest that something shady was going on.
What do you guys at home think? If you're watching us on YouTube, then please answer the poll above in the top corner and let us know in the comments below. Otherwise, if you're listening to us on any of other platforms, send us a message at alltimeconspiracies@gmail.com or on Facebook or on Twitter. In fact, our Twitter handles are on screen right now. Or if you're listening to us, it's I'm All Time Robin.
I'm Alex Brown ATC, I think, because All Time Alex was taken.
I'm All Time Martin because All Time Martin wasn't taken. So,
there you go.
So I have chosen that. And also at AT Conspiracies, you can do that as well.
Yeah.
For the official page.
Exactly.
Indeed.
All right. Speaking of comments, do we have any YouTube comments of the week that we'd like to talk about?
Yes, let's talk about some. So as always, we love listening to your comments. That doesn't make sense. We love reading your comments.
Your comments speak to me.
So feel free to keep sending them in. And who knows, we might read them out on next week's podcast. Chill says, these guys look like three variations of the same guy. And that kind of got me onto thinking, human cloning? Human cloning? Are we just clones?
We've made a video about that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Human cloning.
A while ago now, actually.
What's it called? Is it called Does Human Cloning Exist?
I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
If you search All Time Conspiracies, Does Human Cloning Exist? I'm sure something will come up.
Yeah, it should come up. Hopefully. You'll see it. We should cover that topic again. There must have been some changes in recent years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Some scientific developments.
It was a little while ago.
I mean, if we are all clones, then we're clearly early clones because it wasn't a great success.
There's some mutations in there somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there was definitely one with me and you, Alex. Someone said, are those two twins?
We get that quite a lot.
We do, actually.
I don't know if it's you and me or if it's you guys. If Robin had a beard, maybe.
Yeah. The Venn diagram of twinness.
But no, I think we can confirm to the best of our knowledge, we're not clones, are we? No, we're not.
I don't think so. Do you ever get that feeling that you're actually, maybe it's some kind of
sociopathic?
Maybe slightly sociopathic. But you know, have you ever thought, what if I am actually in the Truman Show?
That's since the Truman Show, the film, came out, apparently that's like a real syndrome that people have, and it was named the Truman Show.
Because you think that for a second and you're like, no, you idiot.
I read a story where someone went to New York, and they didn't live in New York, and they were trying to find basically the people that were in charge of the show.
Yeah,
and he went into like a New York police station or
the
something.
Show. As in inverted commas, they thought they were
his own show.
I see.
And he demanded to speak to the showrunners.
Yeah.
How strange is that?
Where's the director?
Exactly, but it was only ever since that film came out that this has been a recorded phenomena. Since then, no one knew about it.
I love 90s cinema in general, but you've got that, the Truman Show followed by The Matrix.
Yeah.
There's a whole generation of people who are messed up.
Who think we're living in The Matrix.
Or in The Truman Show.
Or maybe we are.
And the problem is, they could be right.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's Elon Musk who definitely thinks we're living in a
in a
simulation, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, how else would he get where he is?
I mean, surely that encourages risk-taking if you think you're living in a simulation. It doesn't make any difference anyway. Yeah.
Sure.
If I'm living in a simulation, people can choose what's for me, so I might as well do what I'm going to do.
I suppose it also encourages disregard for human life and the natural world.
Unfortunately,
you can just kill people,
send them up in space
as you see fit, and it's like, it's okay, they're not real people, they're just simulations in my mind. Anyway, let's move on to another comment.
Yeah, another comment.
So Jojo Garem was talking about our merchandise that we've got now on the channel. And he recommends we should get some underwear with "however" written on it.
Wow.
And he says, it could be useful for small men like me, if you know what I mean. Winky face. I don't know what you mean.
I think I'm flattered. I'm not sure.
I'd really know what to say about that.
With however
other than hopefully the underwear will come in various sizes, so
Okay. So Michael Bordeaux says, today is my last day on methadone. Wish me luck. And if I end up dead, it was the Clintons. And I'd like Robin to, however, at my funeral. So took a bit of a dark turn there, but best of luck. Yeah, I hope I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck to you. And if you do die, let me know.
have on repeat.
How's he going to do that?
Over the funeral march.
Dun, I'm not dun, sure.
Dun, yes. Dun,
however.
Sounds good.
Like it.
Do you want one more?
Yeah.
So this was on our Mystery Files video this week on Oak Island. Gareth Millington says, great video. Personally, I think there is something buried there. If it was a sinkhole, the wooden trunks wouldn't be buried at exact distances, but I suppose they could have been put back that way, back in that way by previous digging teams, which is a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes sense if there was a sinkhole that caused it. Yeah, it's pretty unlikely that they'd be at every 3 meters exactly, those wooden planks.
True. Good point. Yeah,
so, true. Possibly. Good point. So those were the comments from this week.
Fantastic.
Oh, you're a bright bunch. I love comments. They're great.
Yeah.
Thank you. And please send in more. So you've got a new story for us, Alex.
I do. I saw this one this morning, but this was from yesterday. And basically, scientists have reactivated cells from a 28,000-year-old woolly mammoth. So it kind of goes back to the cloning angle.
What?
Yeah, so very soon, possibly.
What?
Maybe we could have, you know, real life woolly mammoths. Yeah, bring them back.
You say reactivated cells.
Yes.
So they brought them back to life?
I think that's kind of what they're saying. Not 100% sure.
I saw the headline a few days ago about the potentially bringing back woolly mammoths.
Yeah.
And my wife just said,
why would you?
My wife just said, why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
That will harm the elephants. Oh, that's a ridiculous thing to say. Harm the elephants. They're like, well, they're the biggest mammals. Well, harm the chain. I was like, it won't harm the chain. It's crazy.
It'll probably harm something, but
they can't be good for some habitats.
Probably, something would definitely change.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Maybe
elephants.
Not the elephants. Yeah.
We're in proper Jurassic Park territory now. And the phrase that comes to mind is, you're so preoccupied with whether or not you could, you forgot to think about whether or not you should.
That's indeed a great line.
I mean, climate change is happening. Global warming may not be man-made, but the temperatures are rising. Bring back the woolly mammoth. It's the perfect era for them.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's an odd one. Yeah, if you could bring back Jurassic Park after numerous films have said that you shouldn't, would you do it? I mean, part of you is like, I love that film and I don't mind because it's always the bad guys that get eaten.
It's true.
The annoying ones.
So, dipping into the story a little bit. So the cells came from an extraordinarily well-preserved woolly mammoth discovered in Siberian permafrost in 2012, nicknamed Yuka.
Yes, I remember that.
So I think, they were literally reawakened because, it was so well-preserved, which I think is why this was possible. Because I know there's a reason why Jurassic Park could never happen, and I think it's something to do with the fact that the cells and DNA break down after has a certain amount of time beyond retrievability, so I think it's impossible to ever bring back dinosaurs. But this was a unique kind of case because it was so well preserved,
and a lot more recent than dinosaurs.
And a lot more recent, obviously. Yeah.
How long ago were the mammoths?
They went extinct about 4,000 years ago.
Oh, it's not long, is it, really?
No,
not that long at all.
No.
But this particular one, I think, had been frozen for 28,000 years.
Oh, yeah, you said, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. A long time.
Yes.
Astonishing.
But not in the history of the world, it's not.
No. On a cosmic scale, pretty small. Yes. Okay, if you could bring back any animal, regardless of scientific plausibility, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, part of you would be like, let's just try Jurassic Park. Let's just give it a go. So
just give it a go.
But then again,
let's learn no lessons from the movie.
And then again, if you look at Jurassic Park, all like the cool ones, in reality, a lot of them aren't that cool. It's like the Velociraptors, look at them, they look amazing. And it's the size of a chicken and it's just like fluffy.
Yeah, it's got feathers, looks a bit weird.
Pterodactyls are like these huge things, lifting kids up in the film, or humans and dropping them. It's like, actually, they're the size of pigeons. And it's like, what?
No way. They weren't the size of pigeons, were they?
Disappointed. Some of them were. Like, majority of them were just the size of normal birds.
But there were those gigantic pterosaurs, weren't there?
I'm sure
there
must have been.
There were the really, really big ones.
Maybe then.
That was going to be my answer, because I had a thought the other day, how cool would it be, or how much of a shame is it, that there's no flying birds like the size of horses that we can saddle up and ride?
That is true.
How cool would that be?
You've been watching Avatar.
You've got me. You've rumbled me.
Yeah.
The only problem there is seagulls are annoying enough, you know, swooping down, stealing your sandwiches. Imagine when you get these giant birds that swoop down and steal your children.
Imagine if one tried to attack you.
That's a bit annoying, isn't it? It's a little bit annoying.
Bloody seagulls.
Come on, I'm stealing my children.
Seagulls are brutal, aren't they?
They are.
They can hurt. Even still, though,
you'd like to ride them.
Just
always thinking about riding.
What are you bringing back? Pterodactyls.
Pterosaurs.
The big ones.
The really big pterodactyls. Yeah. Okay. None of that pigeon stuff. Just the big ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we both gone for dinosaurs.
I mean, dinosaurs is the obvious one, isn't it?
It is.
I didn't choose a dinosaur, though, did I?
No, you chose.
I just say dinosaurs in general. What about a Brontosaurus?
Brontosaurus. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd go for something similar. I'd go for a sauropod as well, because they're just so massive, but they're also vegetarian, so they're not going to eat people. They might squash them, but then people shouldn't get in the way.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I just think in today's world, though, it would just be a sad state of affairs, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
With poachers and stuff.
They just
get hunted to extinction again.
Yeah.
There'd be, you know, their teeth would be used in medicines or something, and they'd just be... poached.
Yeah, true. A lot less space for them to move around in as well.
Yeah, if we can't look after the animals that are on Earth now, it's
sure.
But to answer the question of why would they want to do this, so some scientists claimed that resurrecting the woolly mammoth is more of a philosophical pursuit. It's because...
His answer is because we can.
So it's my duty to preserve species, one scientist said. So
that's not preserving a species.
No. Well,
that's resurrecting a species.
Technically it is. Oh. If you have the ability to, you know.
Yeah.
If like is a species dead once that like fully extinct once there's no more animals of it alive, or is it extinct when you can no longer make those animals?
So that scientist would call themselves a conservationist.
Well, they were retroengineering chickens to be dinosaurs, weren't they? Don't know how far they got with that, but they could they could manipulate the genes in chickens so that they
were more
hatched as dinosaurs or lizard creatures. Obviously they wouldn't be dinosaurs because they were born today as opposed to back then. But there's no excuse for that. It's cool, don't get me wrong, it's cool, and bring back the woolly mammoth, what an amazing scientific achievement. But it's a bit like human cloning, it's a bit like, why? And they say, I have a duty to push the boundaries. It's like, no you don't.
But then again, can you say the same thing about space?
I mean, there's actually, at this point in time, there is an argument for getting off Earth.
Well, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go where no man has gone before.
True. Human nature, we are explorers, aren't we? On the physical and intellectual front.
So is this just another form of exploration?
I guess so.
Anyway, that was my news story for this
week. That was great. That was really interesting, yeah.
Provoked a different kind of discussion than I thought was going to come up. But yeah. And you at home, listeners, if you could bring back one animal from extinction, what would you bring back and why?
Yeah, let us know. Time for a quiz?
Absolutely.
Quiz time, as always, 10 questions plus one bonus question.
Nice.
Alex is still the current champion.
Well, yeah, I mean, today's going to be the day. I feel it. I'm not feeling good today. Not feeling confident.
There's no particular theme to these questions. It's just kind of general knowledge.
Okay. Cool.
But not necessarily news related.
Okay,
in fact,
sure.
Almost certainly not news related. So, gentlemen, your buzzers, Alex.
So, in light of, if you're keeping up with British politics this week, I've gone for the Speaker of the House.
Order!
That's good old John Burko there.
Yeah.
And Martin?
I've gone for something video game related. You might recognize it from the Devil May Cry series.
These are such weird buzzers.
I love this.
The best voice acting in video game history there.
Yes, okay. Actually, yes. You can feel the passion.
Yep.
Okay, question one. Fingers on buzzers. In history, which stone provided the key to deciphering Egyptian hieroglyphs? That was Alex.
Was it the Rosetta Stone?
It was the Rosetta Stone. Okay. Yeah. Found in 1799, it has three versions of a decree issued by King Ptolemy V in 196 BC written on it. One in hieroglyphs, one in Demotic, and one in ancient Greek. And of course, people could read ancient Greek because they've always been able to.
Decent.
Fair.
Yeah. Question number two. Fingers on your buzzers. Which strategy game was centered around classical mythologies and used the same engine as Age of Empires?
Is it Age of Mythology?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, Martin.
I don't know.
Was that an educated guess, or did you actually remember?
No, I kind of knew that it was something like that. But didn't
yeah,
know yeah, yeah. I've never played it.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who has actually. Huh. I wish I had. It looked interesting.
Yeah,
have
to give it a go.
Okay.
2-0.
Question number three.
We're already falling behind.
Yeah, 2-0 to Alex. Question number three. Yeah.
Please carry on.
Yeah, okay. Which European city is the headquarters of Prada and Versace? Fill your dark soul with
light. Is it Milan?
It is Milan. Oh, well nice done, Martin. Oh. 2-1. Question four.
And we're getting the questions right this time.
Yeah, I know. It's good. Everyone's getting it right. This is great.
And now we don't.
Okay. In Greek mythology, questions are tying together. What river divides Earth from the underworld, Alex?
So the river Styx.
It is the river Styx.
So quick on the buzzer.
3-1. He is super fast.
Minute to win
it. Okay. Question five. What worm, which is actually a fungal infection, do wrestlers often get?
Tapeworm?
No.
Ah.
You'll have heard of this. You'll definitely have heard of this.
What worm?
Yeah.
Why would they get it? That's the question. Why would they get a worm? Because of
wrestlers. In a way, the name is connected to their job in terms of where they do their job.
Damn it! No, that is such a...
Ringworm.
Well done.
I mean, that was a good clue, but...
3-2 to Alex still.
Okay.
Why did they get ringworm? Because they're wrestling so much in close proximity.
I didn't look that up.
Weird.
What's going on there? Yeah,
That's kind of strange.
Question six. What was Aesop known for writing?
Fables.
Well done. 3-all. Whoa, catching up there.
What was question five?
Ringworm.
Wrestlers, ringworm.
What's question four?
Greek mythology, river Styx. Okay.
What's question?
Question seven, and it's a tie. 3-all. What four-letter word refers to the jail located on a ship? Alex?
The brig.
Oh. Well done, Alex. 4-3. It's getting tense.
The sailing knowledge is decent.
It's getting tense.
Very good.
I've been locked in a brig once.
What you do at your weekends is none of my business.
I haven't really.
Yeah. You see that jumper? It's a sailor's jumper. Spent his years sailing the 70s before starting YouTube.
I've captained a ship once.
Really?
These are all lies.
Question number eight. 4-3 to Alex. Which company owns the world's largest building by volume?
Google?
No.
Okay. Your dark soul with
light. Alphabet?
No. Although I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I'll give you a clue.
You're going,
this building, largest building by volume, is an assembly plant, a factory, in Everett, Washington.
Assembly plant factory?
Mm. So you're right in thinking it's an American company, but it's not like Google.
I know that...
It's going to be manufacturing, isn't it?
Yeah.
A car. Fill your dark soul with light! I'm going to say Ford.
Not Ford. Alex, do you want to guess?
I'm going to take a pump because I know he was building a massive factory. I don't know if it's counting yet, but is it Tesla?
It's not Tesla. Oh. But yeah, he was, wasn't he? Building a massive factory.
I think it was for his batteries. Though.
Yeah. No, I'll give you one more clue and then one more guess each. It's a company that has been in the news this past week.
Who's been in the news? So who's been in the news?
Consider the why a large building would be useful for manufacturing something. And then who's been in the news? Not for a good reason.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's a manufacturing plant in Washington.
Yeah.
It's going to be someone at home who lives near it going, you idiots. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
And they were in the news this week.
Or in the past fortnight, I suppose.
Oh, well, that changes things.
Alex is first.
I don't know. Is it Toyota?
No.
I was thinking because they had a plant. Was it them in the UK? That move to
closing it down. Yeah. I think everyone's closing everything down in the UK.
The only thing I could think of.
No, it's not them. But you're on the right lines, kind of. Martin, you look like you had it.
I thought I did, but no.
No. Go on, go for it.
Okay, let's go for. I don't know. NASA. Don't know.
No, it's Boeing.
Oh yeah.
Where are they going to build those massive planes?
Disasters. Yeah. All I could think of was that shooting.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. Boeing, obviously. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Let us know in the comments or by email on Facebook and Twitter whether you got that question. Listening,
probably a lot of people at home probably did. Yeah.
Okay, so it's still 4-3. Question 9.
Okay.
This is a word question.
Okay.
So, what prefix can you attach to the words bishop, duke, or nemesis?
Arch
is correct answer. Oh, I love this. 4-4 on the final question.
This is too tense. I don't like this.
Question 10. This is one that you could both get. So fingers on buzzers.
Okay.
In what language does spasibo mean thank you?
Italian?
No.
Oh, no, it's not thank you. What did I say?
What's the word?
Spasibo.
Spasibo?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know it's not Italian.
Was it my weird way of saying it? Gave
panicked.
You
spasibo.
Oh, you got a guess, Alex. Martin's had a guess. You get a guess.
stupid.
And it's the word for thank you.
Yeah, it is.
Spasibo.
Spasibo.
I really have no idea with this one, which is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it a lot in movies, I thought.
Spasibo.
Spasibo.
I don't know what that clue entails, but
very vague clue.
I'm gonna say Russian.
It is Russian.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Look at the victory and the defeat.
That was
Martin,
good
game. I feel for you.
Good quiz.
So, yeah. Did you get it as soon as you said Italian?
I didn't get it.
Oh,
I just.
You knew it wasn't Italian. Sorry.
Spasibo.
My wife would have got that. She worked for a Russian family.
Oh.
All right, well done, Alex, the reigning champion, still defended continues. Your title, but that was close.
That was very close. That was 5-4.
Boeing. I'm annoyed about Boeing. That's the annoying one.
Yeah.
Boeing. I'm surprised.
You gave a good clue as well.
A
good clue, and of course, it makes sense. That's why I said NASA. I was like, what is massive spaceships, not planes.
I was thinking it would be something like the CIA or something, but you said company, so
yeah.
I thought
like the Pentagon's pretty huge. You'd think that would be, but yeah. So
Very well done.
And to all of you at home for listening and for watching on YouTube, thank you as always for all of your support, especially to our Patreon supporters who are wonderful people constantly supporting us for all these years and all these months. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely.
See you later.
Goodbye.